بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه وأهل بيته أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, dear visitors, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. We have just entered the Islamic New Year, the new Hijri year, 1434. Living in the West, many of us may have become accustomed to certain things, seeing certain things when a new year comes around. So, for the last few years, I've been in New York City, where my in-laws are for New Year's Eve, and we know what happens in New York City. So there's the ball drop, there's a big party in Times Square, there's the countdown, there's fireworks, which we see in almost every town, every city, and people hug and kiss and all of these other things. So this is when you think of New Year. In the West, living here, normally this is what comes to mind, especially for our children. But we don't find that in the Islamic tradition. So when we study the Islamic tradition, we don't find any concept of celebrating a new year. And the question is, why is that? Why don't we go out and party and celebrate and show our enthusiasm and our happiness when the new Islamic year comes around? And sometimes when we think about it, we come to the conclusion, the erroneous conclusion, that, you know, people just want to make Islam dry and boring, and Muslims are just serious all the time. But really, again, if we look at the tradition and we study and we look at the lives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, we find that that's not necessarily true. So in times of celebration, in times of happiness, and for relaxation, we know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, he had a sense of humor. There were banquets, there was poetry, there was singing by children, and you know, they watched sports and competitions. And took part in them, they played games. So we know that there were things which were done, there were activities, there were things which took place when people wanted to relax, when they wanted to celebrate, and when they were happy about something. But what differentiates us is that the believers, that as believers we know that this life is temporary. That whatever we have is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus, with that in mind, we cannot have mindless entertainment and celebrations. Activities where money is spent, where energy and time are spent, and there is no true benefit. There is no true benefit out of those. So simply having a good time or enjoying ourselves is not good enough of a reason. It's not good enough of a purpose. Because doing so spending time and energy and effort into having a celebration just for the sake of enjoying and having fun, it is or either leads to following our desires, which we have been warned about. So if you're just doing it for satisfying ourselves, for doing things that we just enjoy doing, and that's it, and that's the only purpose, then that is something which entails or is leading us towards following our desires, and that is something which we have been warned about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, in Luqman, the wise had said, وَلَا تَتَّبِعِ الْهَوَى فَيُضِلَّكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Right? That do not follow your desires. Do not follow your desires because it will take you away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the person who follows his or her desires and whims and makes that the source of guidance, as you know, the source of inspiration and the source of guidance towards what should be done and what should not be done, then that person is eventually going to be taken off the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So following our desires and our whims just to satisfy ourselves, this is something we have to be very careful with. So whatever we do, there's got to be a better reason. Whatever we do, whether it's partying or anything else, whatever we do, there's got to be a better reason than to just satisfy ourselves. Therefore, when we are to celebrate, there are other higher aims that we are trying to achieve along with the celebration. Right? So we will be celebrating, we do celebrate, we do enjoy ourselves, but not just mindless entertainment. Right? We do so with a higher purpose. So for example, you know, we make a sacrifice. So for Eid al-Adha or for an Aqiqah, right? So a child is born and there's a sacrifice. We do so for, you know, for feeding others, for thanking and glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we thank Allah and then we enjoy the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we remember Allah as we do for the two Eids. We count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we get together to promote family ties and build and sustain friendships and the ties of brotherhood and sisterhood. And these are the things which are important. We get together, we have a celebration to announce things, right? So when there's a marriage, there is the walima, right? A banquet which is done following the nikah, so that everyone knows about it, and it's a way of celebrating and the same for the aqiqah as well. So the biggest concern is that there should be no activity. There should be no activity that leads us to heedlessness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His commands. There should be nothing that we're involved in, nothing that we're engaged in, that leads us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if there's anything like that, it doesn't deserve our time. If there's any activity, any practice, any custom, anything which leads us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which takes us towards the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not worth our time, it is not worth our energy, it's not worth our wealth. And also we find that if an activity is leading us to indulge in things which are prohibited, right? Leading us to indulge in things which are prohibited, for example, wasting the wealth, being excessive in things, showing off. So all of these things we know are not part of Islamic values. These are things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like. So if there's any activity, any practice, any custom that leads us to this, that too is not worth our time and our effort and our energy. So this is why we don't find the concept of a New Year's celebration as we are accustomed to here in the Islamic tradition. When a year has passed, right? So if you look at the reading, the writings of the scholars and the words of the pious predecessors, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu and so on, we find that the passing of a year is more of a time of concern. It's more a time of concern rather than celebration. Because when a year has passed, it's an opportunity for us to reflect and to think back that, okay, what have we done in the past year? What have I done? What is my report card like for the past year? What have I achieved? What did I do that was right? What did I do which could have been done differently? Could have been done better? And for the new year, the same idea. So what are the things that we want to achieve, that we want to get better at as we get closer to our end? Because basically the calendar year is like having a stopwatch. So every year that's going by, it's counting down to something. Every year that passes by, every day that passes by, is counting down, is bringing us closer to something. So what is that something? Are we getting prepared for that as we get closer to it? So for that we make dua. We should make dua, we should have good objectives, have good goals, and this is something which is positive. So when we think of the new year, as it is upon us now, the Islamic New Year, we think about, in 1434, what are my goals, what are my objectives, what are the things I can improve on? How can I get better as I get closer towards that end? Now the Islamic New Year, as we know, begins with the month of Muharram, which is the first of the four sacred months. Right, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that He has mandated the number of months in a year on the day He created the heavens and the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mandated this and laid this down, that there were going to be 12 months in a year. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, Minha arba'atun hurum. And of these, four are the sacred, the sanctified, the prohibited months. And primarily the prohibition was against fighting, and this was something which was practiced by Arabs before Islam as well. So before the advent of Islam, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these 4 months were recognized by the Arabs as well, and this was something which was inherited from the practice of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Minha arba'atun hurum. So of these 12 months, four of them are sacred months. They are prohibited, they are sanctified months. And he goes on to say afterwards, فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. And it was reported that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said that this phrase, فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ, meaning so wrong not yourselves therein. He said that it referred to all of the months. Then these 4 months, these sanctified months, were singled out and made more sacred. So that the sins in these months are more serious, and good deeds bring a greater reward. Right? So the 4 months which are sanctified, which are the sacred months, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says that the sin in these months is more serious and the good deeds bring a greater reward. And Imam Razi comments on this verse from the Mufassirun, and he mentions the same thing. And the ma'asiyata fiha shaddu aqab. That he explains that the punishment for sins perpetrated in these months is increased. وَالطَّاعَةُ فِيهَا أَكْثَرُ ثَوَابًا. And the good deeds, the good actions, their reward is also multiplied during these 4 months. So this is a clear encouragement for us to do more good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us opportunity after opportunity, reminders, right, so that we can think back. As we start getting lost a little bit, then we can think back again. So I think it was last year, I was looking through the various days of importance, the various months of importance that come up, and so on. And there's actually, out of the 12 months, 7 months contain days of importance. Out of the 12 months in the Islamic calendar, 7 months contains, in one way or the other, some days which have special importance. Right? So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's way of giving us an opportunity to reflect, to turn back, to think a little bit seriously, once we start getting carried away, which happens naturally to all of us. So yes, the new year with the month of Muharram is a special time in this sense. In the sense that we try to increase our good actions and our good deeds. Not exactly a time of celebration the way we know New Year's to be celebrated here, but a time of increase in our goodness, and it is something which is positive and something which is good, a sanctified time. It is also a reminder, as I mentioned, of time passing. Right? And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is an opportunity to reflect the surah that everyone practically knows, Wal Asr, Inna al-insana lafi khusr. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I swear by the time, Inna al-insana lafi khusr. Mankind, human beings are in a state of loss indeed. The insan is in a state of loss. Verily, we are all in a state of loss. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوا بِالصَّبْرِ. Except those who believed. So how can you reverse that loss? So inherently it's a loss. Right? Life itself, you're running towards loss. Right? So just like you buy a car, the moment you drive it off the lot, the value is going to go down. The value is going to go down. Okay, the moment you buy a computer, any device, the value is going to go down. Unless it becomes an antique or something afterwards. Right? It goes into a museum or something. Rare exceptions. But generally, cars, computers, technology, the value is going to go down the moment you acquire it. So life is the same way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us that the insan is in a state of loss. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. So how can you reverse that loss? How can you reverse it? There's a prescription Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us for reversing that loss. Except those who believed and did righteous deeds. But that's not all. وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. And exhorted each other to follow the truth, and exhorted each other to observe patience. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the criteria, the prescription for reversing the loss of the inherent loss in life and in the passing of time. So that is believe, do good deeds, exhort each other. Right? So don't just believe and do good deeds. That's good, that's important. But also, exhort each other to follow the truth and to observe patience. So we all have a responsibility that means that if you want to reverse that loss, that we are incurring as time goes by, as years pass by. We need to do something. Believe, do good deeds, reach out to one another, follow the truth, and to observe patience. Going back to the importance of doing the things which are of benefit, the underlying principle. The underlying principle in making the right choice is just that. Doing things which are of benefit. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes that principle very clear when He mentions, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ. He says that they ask you, meaning of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they ask you, the people ask you concerning alcoholic drinks and gambling. So people ask you about that. What about wine? What about alcohol? What about gambling? How are these things? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say to them what? فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِنْ نَفَعِهِمَا. A very, very important principle. It says, say in them is a great sin and some benefit. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying very clearly in the Qur'an for alcohol and gambling that in them is a great sin and some benefit for people. وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ but وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِنْ نَفَعِهِمَا. But the sin of them is greater than their benefit. So the harm that these things will bring is greater than the little benefit that they have. So this is a very, very important principle for us, a guiding principle for us. That when we are making choices, there should be benefit in the choice, first of all. And not only should there be benefit, but the benefit should exceed the potential risks or possible harms in that choice. So for example, in Canada, the government has a policy, right? So Industry Canada has a policy that whenever there's a large-scale foreign investment in the country, in any industry, in any company, that proposal is first put to the net benefit test. That proposal, a foreign investment, is put to the net benefit test, where the minister and people at Industry Canada will get together and look at the proposal and figure out, okay, is there a net benefit to Canada from this? Right, there are benefits of foreign investment in the country, but there's also potential harms as well. There's risks there as well. So at the end of the day, if this proposal was accepted, if this takeover, if this investment was accepted, was allowed to go forward, would there be a net benefit to the country? Right. And if there isn't, if the proposals are rejected, even though that's quite rare, but recently the government did that with a proposal from a Malaysian company in petroleum. So things can have benefits. Right? So alcohol, gambling, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that yes, there is some benefit, but the harms, the sins are much greater. Same thing with usury and interest as well, riba. Right? But the benefits, the criteria is that the benefits have to be greater than the potential for harm. In these cases, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly tells us that that is not the case. The benefits are not greater. The sins, the harms, right? The fallout that's going to come from these acts is going to be much worse than some benefits that you find. Right? So many times people talk about interest and talk about riba and say, well, you know, it's useful because you can buy homes and you can do this and you can do that. So yes, there may be some benefits in that. There may be some benefits. But on the large scale, what are there? There are more harms. And so the other day I was listening to CBC Radio, a call-in show at noon, and they're talking about this report which had came out, which talked about, you know, increasing debt levels, right? Household debt in Canada being at a you know, quite a bit of a high, and it was very sad to hear people calling in with all their terrible stories, right? Terrible stories about debt and how they're drowning in debt, how they're trying to pay off, you know, their credit card bills, but they're just not able to do so because, you know, they make the minimum payment, they try to get a little bit extra to pay down the principal, but they pay down a little bit and then it just increases a whole lot more the next month, and they're just stuck in that trap, in that cycle. And it was really sad listening to that. And really when you hear and you experience all of that, then you realize the wisdom, right, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in prohibiting these things. So yes, there may be some benefit. We look at it on an international scale as well, right? How countries can be taken advantage of in many cases. Right, when they've been given these loans and the initial amount was very small, but over time it has ballooned into an enormous amount, and now they can basically be blackmailed because of that debt. So there's wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all the prohibitions, And this is one example. So let's reflect on the passing of time. With the new year, let's reflect on the passing of time. How are we spending our time? How are we spending our days, our months, our minutes, our seconds? How could we do better in reversing this inherent loss that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us? Right? This is one more year which has passed. A new year which we have entered, which we don't know if we are going to see the end of or not. What are the activities we are involved in? How are we spending our time? Is there benefit in what we are doing? First of all, is there any benefit at all? Is there any true benefit in what we are doing? Apart from satisfying our desires, because as I mentioned, simply satisfying ourselves, our desires and our whims, that's not a good enough of a reason to do something. That's not a valid reason. So there's got to be something else, apart from just personal enjoyment. There's got to be some other benefit that comes out of what we do. So what are the activities we're involved in? Is there any benefit apart from satisfying ourselves? And if yes, then that's a good start. But then the second question is, do the pros outweigh the cons and the risks? So whatever we are involved in, do the benefits of that, the true benefits of that, right? So they could be worthy, they could be short-term benefits, but especially longer-term benefits, because that's what the wisest people are worried about, long-term. Right? That's what smart investors are worried about, right? That's what Warren Buffett will tell you. Right? They're talking about that this morning, about investments. They say when people start pulling out of the stock market, that's the time to stay. Right? Because if you rush up for the exits with everyone else and try to get back in, when it's going to start going up, you're going to lose out. Right? So, what are the pros and cons of what we're doing? Do the pros outweigh the cons and the risks, especially on the long term, in the long term picture? So these are things to reflect upon. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you much goodness, greater iman and health and peace and love and closeness to Allah. And we make this dua for everyone. Right? So this my dua is for all of you who are here, for my family and everyone else, my friends, but all of our brothers and sisters and indeed all of the inhabitants in the world. All of the inhabitants of the world. Because we wish well, we want good for everyone. Right? We don't want people to be hurt. We don't want people to be misguided. Right? So we make dua for khayr and we make dua for iman and goodness and hidayah for everyone. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant everything that is good to all of us here and everyone else in this world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to use our time wisely in things which are truly of benefit, which will truly help us when our time runs out on our clock. And of course, we make dua and we'll continue to inshallah for our brothers and sisters all around the world, especially in Gaza who are going through severe hardship. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them ease and grant everyone, all of our brothers and sisters, ease, inshallah. Amen.